Hey guys, welcome back to another week of Autastic, your comedian's guide to autism. I am one of your hosts, Kirk Smith, and my co-host, here as always, over the phone,
Graham K. Hello everybody. But it doesn't sound like I'm over the phone, because we're using high-tech technology. I think high-tech technology is a redundant sentence, but anyway.
We're using low-tech technology. Basically, we have a string and two tin cups, and we scream at each other. And
no, I used technology twice.
I know.
Anyway, we're obviously not scientists, but what we are is two stand-up comedians, and we both have loved ones who have autism. And we're just trying to figure out this comedian's got autism. I have an autistic younger brother, and Kirk has a autistic son on the lower functioning end of the spectrum. My brother's in the middle somewheres. But yeah, good. How you doing, Kirk? I haven't talked to you in a bit.
I know it's been a little bit. I'm good. I'm back from the old the Great White North, and I am.
You spend more time in Canada than I do. I'm getting jealous. I feel like Canada's cheating on me.
With an older, slightly less handsome man. I get it.
Yes.
It was good. It was good. It was.
I wasn't going to say that part, but okay. I was thinking it.
You're clearly better looking, guys. You can't see this because this is radio, sort of. But Graham,
I don't know about that, Kirk,
is a very tall man with a jaw that could cut glass.
Okay.
Who lives in New York City. Who just taped an album, just grew a mustache, too. I saw him recently had a mustache.
I got a mustache. I figured I'm in my 30s, and I've never had a mustache my whole life. You know? It's time.
Well,
it's time. Here's a story I've never told on air about... I'm not that handsome. So 10 years ago, I moved to New York, and I needed to make some... I needed a job. And enough people were like, you know, you're a decent looking guy, you know. And I had some people took some photographers would use me for like a free model, you know,
Is this an urban cowboy story? I'm nervous.
No. So I had like a couple pictures or whatever, and I was like, and someone in New York told me that Ford Modeling Agency, it's like the biggest modeling agency in the world, had like an open casting call like once a week or once a month or whatever. And I was like, oh, okay, cool. I'll bring, what do I got to do? I'll try. And so you go up in the elevator, and then there's like a big fancy office, and it's like a cattle call. It's like you get funneled through this like little hallway, and then there's a woman there, like in her 40s or 50s, who's like been in the biz, you know, for a long time. And she looks at your pictures, and then she goes, you go that way or that way? You go right or left? And then she looked at mine, and she goes, you go right. And I was like, okay. And then the hallway led me straight back to the elevators. And then it was just a bunch of like average looking, like small town, like the best looking people in their small town, but not like, just, you know what I mean? And we're just sort of all in the elevator, and the elevator just went straight down to the ground. And we're looking at each other like, yeah, we're not that hot.
You know? I like, as you go that way, you're like, all right. You turn a corner, you literally hear the elevator go ding, and you're like, oh. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. It's such a funny way to do it. It just like leads you straight to an elevator that goes straight down. And you just, everyone's dreams go down with it in the elevator. Everyone had these like fleeting model, oh, I'm going to travel the world and hang out with babes all the time. Nope. And make hundreds of thousands of dollars. Nope. Nope. Go. And then cut to me a week later handing out tickets flyers at the Javits Center, Convention Center, for $10 an hour.
Oh, that's funny. That's funny. Yeah, yep. But if you hadn't done that, it wouldn't have led you here, Graham.
It all works out, Kirk. I'm here in my apartment as an adult living with roommates, talking to you over the phone, and there's nothing better. There's nothing better.
Well, when you say it like that, it doesn't sound that good.
No, it's great. No, life's great. I'm about to head to Atlantic City for the weekend. So anyway,
you're at the Borgata? Where are you at?
I'm at, I think it is the Borgata.
That's great.
Yeah. Yeah. Pretty fancy.
That's great.
Pretty fancy guy.
You can go to one of those places. Yeah. I think that Borgata is one of those hotels that has like a hot tub in the room. It's shaped like a heart. So, yeah, I'm excited for you.
No, they took those out.
I'm just teasing. This is Comedian's Guide to Autism, as Graham said. How is your brother doing? How's little Pete doing?
Oh, Pete's doing okay. He's doing okay. Here's the thing. I was thinking about this today. You know how like your son is nonverbal? You know that?
I do know that.
Yeah. And like how you can't, you know, there's like certain health issues that he can't communicate to you,
yep.
You know? And I never really thought about Peter not having, or like, I never thought that was something that would affect Peter. You know, my brother is very verbal.
Right.
You know, and but he fell, I've already talked about it a couple times on the podcast. He fell and he hurt his, he goes up to the cottage. My parents are like 70 and my mom's birthday is coming up, her 70th. Big shout out to my mom. I don't think they listen to this, but anyway, I think they listen to like the first five and they're like, oh yeah, well, I get it. You know, but, so my brother
happy
has to
birthday,
go up to
Constance.
The...
Constance? No.
Yes, Constance. Good memory. She's been on this podcast.
Yes, she has.
She is a tower of a woman. She's very bright and strong. And a great mother, resourceful mother, and a very creative mother in parent in thinking of like ways to achieve goals in their child with autism's life. You know, she always pushes the envelope, and you know, Peter lives on his own and has you know, a pretty decent life. Anyway, but he has to go up to the cottage every once in a while to help them, especially in the spring to open it up. It's like a shack we have by the woods and in by a lake, and then close it down for the winter. You know. And so he's got to lift stuff, like bring the canoe up, you know. And I guess he fell and hit his shoulder and went to the doctor. The doctor's like, you know, they should have gone to the emergency room, I think, and gotten x-rays right then and there. But they didn't. And they're like, you know, it could be anything. And then they finally got like an MRI. And he's got like a muscle tear and a cracked shoulder, and that's a new development. And I just think that if he had been able to communicate that, what he was feeling better, more clearly, because he is sort of limited in the words he can use and how he can express himself and sort of different kinds of thought. I don't know about abstract thought, but I mean like just different kinds of, it's hard to explain. Like, he just can't go.
I think I get it.
Like, he doesn't understand that $5 is worth more than 10 cents.
Right.
Because 10 is more than 5. You know, like, that's an example I use a lot. But it's a good way to summarize how his brain is functioning. Like, if I had hit my shoulder like that, I'd be like, no, something is, it hurts way more than normal than just a sprain or a internal bruise or a muscle pull, you know, or a tendon. It's like a tear and a crack. Like, you know what I mean?
Right.
And then we'd be 3 weeks ahead of schedule. So that was sort of one instance that is happening now. And he has to take a week off work, which is, you know, not good because idle mind, you know, he already doesn't have enough in his day to keep him busy, for keep him from going absolutely nuts, like in thinking about the past. And like, literally, he just does laundry all day. Like, he's going to run out of laundry. You know, I don't know what he's going to do. So
he's washing holes into those shirts.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a tough one.
Man, if I visit home, I have, like, I I yelled at him a few times and got really upset because he would go into my room when I'm visiting home, grab my clothes and wash them and shrink them all, like shrink the stuff I didn't want to shrink. So now he's kind of like, he's like, Graham, can I wash this? And I'm like, yeah, no, the stuff on the floor you can wash, or I'll tell him. We have like a system. But well, yeah, so he, I don't know, man. He'll be fine. Ultimately, he's great. His spirit is up, which is good. You know, and it's who knows. We'll see. We'll see in a week when he hasn't worked, but he's still pretty happy. Anyway, that's Peter. He's doing pretty good. I don't know what we could have done differently as a family in that scenario. Do you have any suggestions?
No. That's a tough one. You know, that's a tough one. Especially when you're trying to describe pain, you know, that's a tough one. It's hard to tell.
I know that happened to JJ, your son. Is there any specific times? Because I know that like you have to put him out when you want to get his teeth cleaned. That was a thing that happened recently. He can't really communicate to you if he has like toothaches or anything. But is there any other like specific things where he's like fallen or anything you don't know what's going on?
Anytime he falls, he says...
he's completely nonverbal.
Yeah, he says, right? Are you okay?
Right.
And actually, he's calling me right now.
Yeah, take it.
2 minutes? Okay, hold on. And it's tough.
So?
It's tough when he can't verbalize. So whenever he gets hurt, he just says, are you okay? And so that you don't know if his feelings got hurt or if he hurt a bone or if he hurt a... Yeah.
Do you want to just talk about... Want to keep in that edit and talk about how you just got a call? I thought that was pretty good radio right there.
Okay, sure. We have a daily call with my son. A video call. And... sometimes, you know, go ahead.
How'd it go?
It was good. Sometimes, you know, he's a little bit behind schedule, so we had a little overlap here, but he's a busy, busy man. So
is he?
No. It went good. First thing he does is he says, don't pick your nose, and he sticks his finger up his nose and then laughs at me because I can't stop him. And
good plan. That's a fun prank.
It's a fun prank.
And he but just, that's legitimately like, you know, that's understanding a lot of things to make a joke. It's the highest form of language, they say.
That's what they say, yeah. He's doing okay. My recent review is, you know, as longtime listeners know, he is on, he takes some medicine, and the name of the medicine that he's on now is let me get this right. Risperdal, I'm close, and it's an antipsychotic medication that they use it to treat irritability in autism. It's technically a to treat schizophrenia, but they use it in autism to treat it's like for a mood mm-hmm. Stabilizer, and it's on a low dose. But the latest issue is he's putting on a little bit of weight. The weight's starting to come back, and so they had some tests done, and now they think it's giving him they're saying high hormones, that his hormones are elevated, specifically mm-hmm. testosterone. And I read the side effects. I don't see that specifically. It does talk about increase of high blood sugar levels, and so anyway, we're trying to work on that, where his weight is being
right.
Starting to go up as it relates to that. That being said, it's tough, right? Because you're taking trade-offs. So he's been in a good mood, and he's been not physical or not that he's ever really violent, but he does get, I guess, physical or violent, you know, where he's tearing stuff up.
Yeah. Is that,
and
you
we
think
got him
is,
a,
so there'll be less instances of him ripping up the floor because he had to rip up, he had to leave because he had to get repair of the floor and the drywall.
Yeah, tore up the floor and the drywall. That's going to be fixed in 2 weeks. We're still working on that too.
Oh man,
yeah. Related
so is that
to
connected
that,
to that? Is that it's related to that? Okay.
Yeah, try to get his moods to where he's more relaxed and less destructive. Is
anxious.
A good way of saying it.
Yeah.
Anxious maybe. Mm-hmm. I think there's usually a reason why he's doing this stuff. Either he feels anxious or he's sad or he's trying to channel his inner Kirk or something. He's trying to...
He doesn't have basketball.
He doesn't have basketball. He doesn't box. He's got to do something, this little guy. But
Kirk plays pickup basketball with like 25-year-olds and just hurts their bodies. And it's funny, I'll go see Kirk before basketball and he's like, "Hey man, how you doing?" You know, whatever. And then after basketball, he's just very happy. And then I look over and there's just a bunch of like it's like the movie Platoon after a battle. There's all these like 20-year-olds lying on the ground going, "Ah." You know, you elbowed them in the sternum.
That's a bit of an exaggeration, but we had a good week this week. We won 6 games in a row yesterday. Not to brag, but I just bragged. But yeah, it was fun. It was fun. But I think it's important for all of us to find these outlets, right? To channel this this energy. But that's what we're working on with JJ. A little bit of elevated hormones, and he started he off and on. He's really liked to look at himself in the mirror where he sticks at his tongue and he makes faces. And so we got him a full length mirror that. I've got a picture of him that I got today from his care worker where he's watching his videos on his computer through the mirror. So,
well, that's sort of experimentation, you know, it's everything's backwards. It's kind of, you know, it's interesting in a way. I'm sure I did stuff like that when I was a little kid. I definitely made I made faces in the mirror, until I was like 20, you know, so
I did until Tuesday. Right, oh, I do have another weekend review I should bring up.
Okay, bring it
up. Long time listeners know we bought that Toshiba laptop that was indestructible that he subsequently destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
I tried to send it back, and these stinkers will not cover it because it's accidental, is what they said. So I couldn't believe it. And I'm like... So we had this big argument with him last night or yesterday over the phone about, you know, when I bought it, I explained what was going to happen. I'm like, I'm going to give this to my son. He's going to destroy it. And then I'm going to want my money back. It's not going to be an accident. He's going to take this thing apart. I know he's going to figure out how. So if you're on the fence about these Toshiba Tough Books and you're going to buy them refurbished from that company in Costa Mesa, I would not do it. Do not do that because they won't cover it.
They lied to you.
Yeah, basically.
Hmm.
Yeah, that was very frustrating. Because I told the guy, I'm not even that upset that he destroyed it. I'm upset that you sold me the warranty and then won't cover it. Because I know I buy the warranty. I didn't buy the warranty because I think it's going to, you know, not be put together correctly. I buy it because he's going to take it apart. He's going to destroy this thing.
And you explain it to them.
Yeah, we had a heated conversation.
What did he say?
Oh, I'm sorry you felt like that.
He lied to you, scumbag.
Yeah. So if you're on the fence, I definitely do not recommend buying those. So, because the warranty costs as much as buying one of those things, right? The warranty is $200. I can buy a laptop for $200. Yeah. It's a bad one, but still, yeah.
Well, Kirk, time for street justice.
I'm going to take JJ. I'm going to send him in there at night and let him do his work on those machines.
Rip up all his drywall.
It's a very specific vandalism. He came in and pulled up all the linoleum. And,
well, should we do in the news?
Yeah, that was our weekend review. Guys,
speaking of anxiousness, this sort of runs into all that, you know?
Yeah, I love this one. Can meditation, this is on in the Washington Post, can meditation help kids with autism better cope with sensory overload? One hectic morning, in a rush to hustle my 3-year kids out the door, I found my 8-year-old son sitting cross-legged in the bathroom, eyes closed, his hands gently resting on his knees. He said he was meditating. I was skeptical, but the peaceful look on his face told me that whatever he was doing, it was working. He seemed far less stressed out than I was at the moment. Although my son had never started meditating by himself before, this was not unfamiliar to him. His occupational therapist incorporates mindfulness into his weekly sessions, usually with the Breathe Kids meditation app. My son has autism, and a large part of his occupational therapy centers on recognizing his emotional response to stimuli and making appropriate choices about how to act in response. Mindfulness is helping him develop these skill sets because to get better at self-regulation, he needs to understand the connection between his emotions and his actions. And when you pare meditation down to the basics, what is left is simply an attempt to forge connections between mind and our bodies, our sensory input, behavioral output, and our internal selves and the external world around us. Nearly everyone can benefit from using mindfulness. Let's jump ahead. There's relatively little formal research on the benefits of mindfulness on children with autism, but pediatric occupational therapists have been unofficially using mindfulness with their patients for years. And if one of the goals of meditations is to create space between an experience and a reaction, it makes sense. For many kids on the spectrum, gaining control over the relationship between their mind and their body is a major challenge. Sarah Selnaik, boy, that's close, an occupational therapist from Virginia, has taught the meditation skills. It says meditation addresses...
meditation kills!
Meditation addresses three critical areas in which kids with autism struggle: motor skills, sensory regulation, and socialization. The foundation for these skills is being aware of your body. So even before I formally used the meditation process, I was building neurological connections between my mind and my body by asking kids to think about how their feet feel and when they were walking. Let me jump forward a little bit. This lady basically uses it for breathing with her son. Okay, finding what works. Though meditation can be useful for many kids with autism, Pickering says that there are limitations, especially for kids who don't have the skills to learn or practice it correctly or lack basic understanding of its purpose. But there are enough options available that it can be adapted and customized to work for nearly every child. Lots of adults tell children to take a deep breath, but a lot of kids I work with don't know how to do that. So we play a game using our breath to blow up balloons. Other kids are turned off by meditation, so we do things in a way that makes it fun, like walking meditations or pen and paper mazes. The idea that meditation could take the form of physical activity may seem strange, but it was a necessary approach for kids who can't seem to keep their bodies quiet and still. Mm. For Ann Sampson, a Toronto-based program called Young Warriors was a lifesaver when her son was initially diagnosed with autism at age 7. He was having difficulty managing his aggression and strong emotions, but the program designed for kids with learning disabilities and mental health issues combined mindfulness and martial arts to show kids the power of their minds and bodies. My son learned the mindfulness technique that they called swords breath, where you hold your hand out in front of you and raise your quote-unquote sword up and down as you breathe in and out. It was amazing the first time he did it. We were so relieved to see him use the tools. Now at 13, he no longer has the autism diagnosis, but the criteria has changed over years, and many kids find themselves on and off the spectrum throughout childhood. Still, he continues to struggle with many of the same issues, but he's able to talk to his parents about what's causing him the stress. I think it's interesting. What do you think of this article, Graham?
No, it's amazing. It's something I could posit or to the caretakers for my brother. You know, it's interesting. I've never heard of that before. The app again was Breathe Kids meditation app. I clicked on it. It seems to be legit. It's created by a woman who is she was on the pediatric pain clinic at UCLA Mattel Children's Hospital and a co-investigator on a UCLA research study on the impact of mindfulness in education. So it seems legit. You know?
If we did it for my son, we'd have to incorporate the movement somehow. Maybe get him to blow on a little wheel, one of those pinwheels or something, maybe to get him. I was trying to think of how we'd do this for him. But just the practice of breathing like that would help too, I think, to calm him.
Yeah. It's a physiological thing that you cannot ignore. If you start breathing, you get calm.
Yeah.
You know? It's something for us to try. I don't know if Peter's sort of set in his ways, but it would be interesting to try. I want to try it. I mean, I want to try it myself. I think everyone who tries meditation, I don't know a single person who meditates that is like, this sucks. Everyone loves it.
You know what I do it on is on planes when I'm starting to, when I get that stuck in that middle seat in the back by the toilet and I'm starting to feel like I'm losing it. Close my eyes, breathe.
But then you got to breathe in deeply, but you're by the toilet, so it's sort of like an endless cycle.
You're breathing all those poops. Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, it's hard. Hard to get in the zone.
Guys, send us your notes about poop particles that you're breathing in.
Yes.
And anything else.
Yeah.
This is Autastic. We love to get your letters and notes and
hate mail.
No, leave your hate mail to yourself. Just write those letters and then delete them.
That's an act of mindfulness to do that, I would bet. Yeah.
It is. It allows you to verbalize and be heard and then just delete it.
Yeah.
Where are you this weekend, Graham? Where can people catch you?
Oh, I am going to Atlantic City Comedy Club this weekend. And then on Monday, I'm doing nothing. And on Tuesday, I am flying out to Gay Paris.
Ooh,
that's right, Paris. That'd
be great.
Yeah.
Oh, I almost forgot. I'd be remiss if I didn't mention Julie Hornack, who helped write this book called United in Autism that I participated in. I promised I'd give her a shout out. There was a big news thing in Times Square for that big ad thing, kind of news thing that was posted about that book.
Awesome.
And, there was
a billboard in Times Square, like a digital billboard about the book, is what you're trying to say.
And she got a big plug on that, and I promised I'd give her a shout out in the news. And
Equal. They're just as big, the Autastic and Times Square, samesies.
But yeah, that was great. That was great. Really, I was really proud of her. Yeah, I had a great time in Paris, man. I'm excited for you.
I'm proud of you for being in that book.
Thanks, man. Thanks.
Yeah, it's huge.
We're doing it.
Guys, don't forget to tell your friends, subscribe, and if you haven't already, leave a review and give us a 5-star rating on iTunes and Stitcher. They both help quite a bit. As always, you can find me at InstaGrahamK on Instagram, Mr. Graham K on the Twitter. I'm on Facebook if you want to be pals. I still got room. And also comedybythegram.com for show dates and show times. Yeah, thanks, guys.
You can catch me at Instagram, Kirk Smith. Sorry, jeez Louise. Kirk Smith Comedy on Instagram. I almost said your thing. I almost said Instagram K like an idiot.
It's too catchy.
I am in Hawaii this weekend at a club. I think it's called Sharky's. You can catch me there. I think it's Saturday. Anyway, this weekend. Facebook, Twitter, send us your notes, add us. We appreciate your support on Patreon every week. It means a lot to us, helps us do this podcast. Have a great week, guys. You can do it.